Jesus. And we're going to unpackage that a little bit this morning. But in light of that, I put together some signs. Yeah, that's the old Coast Hill signs on the back. But on the front of the Coroplast is the name Jesus. And we want to talk about that name today and what that means. And some of us have already experienced the power of that name just even in our singing this morning. I've talked with people over the years who have come into church and are new to church, and they just say, I don't know what it is, but somehow when we start singing, something happens internally. And I really believe it's the name of Jesus. We're just singing about the great name of Jesus and his presence and all that represents. And as I said before, we're gathering the testimonies of the new members coming on at Coast Hills, and I know the junior hires are going to head off and meet with Kevin and talk with Kevin, and I know they're going to be talking about Jesus and how he changes our lives. The love that is essential in the character of Jesus, how he comes, and as Maxine shared, just comes and shows us that he is there for us, that when we pray, he is right beside us. He's actually in us. And when we talk about the name of Jesus, that's what it means. That's what it means, is understanding who he is. Sometimes we have this picture, and Kevin mentioned, of God as this almighty, uncaring being who just kind of sets the world in place, and then we're wondering, grasping whether our prayers meet him or not. In Jesus, we know that they do, because Jesus came to this earth, and he walked among us, and he lives, and he's here with us now. And that's the powerful name of Jesus, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, because the first part of our passage this morning from Mark chapter 9 talks about the name of Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means, because we oftentimes, you know, many of us pray and say, in the name of Jesus, amen, or we sing about that great name, and we sing about the name of Jesus, but this morning, I hope we can just kind of unpackage a little bit about how that lives itself in reality in our lives. How do we take on the name of Jesus in our lives? I know sometimes when we take a name and you put it on us, like say you're traveling and you put the name Canada on you, it means something, right? People look at that. Or you wear a name and it's, you know, a sports team. Or, when I went out to, I mentioned last week, I was talking about going to Africa last summer, and we drove a van with the name Karanda Mission Hospital on the side of our van. And because that hospital was known for so much good in the world, and actually, interesting enough, Samaritan's Purse, while I visited the hospital, they were unpackaging a huge container from Samaritan's Purse of medical equipment. So while many of the other hospitals had shut down in the country, Karanda Mission Hospital kept caring for people, loving people, and in Jesus' name, caring for them. And because of that, we were waved through roadblocks. People give us a free pass. We had the van break down, and some guy who had a huge scar on his head, I think I mentioned the story one time, and had been close to, he'd been helped through the hospital, he repaired it free of charge. It was quite something to have that name on us, and with that came a little bit of a, wow, okay, there's a sense of responsibility to uphold that name as well. There's something about that happens in our lives when we take on the name of Jesus and the power that comes. And it's an incredible privilege to have the name of Jesus on our lives. And so here we have the disciples. They had just been they were with Jesus. Peter preached on this a few weeks back about him inviting the children. Jesus had talked about being a servant. And John pipes up, and this is what he says. John says to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw somebody using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group." "Don't stop him," Jesus said. "No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go through the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. for everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. We're going to try and unpackage this passage a little bit. Sometimes Jesus' words come off real easy and silky and smooth on us, and sometimes they really challenge us, and they say, wait a second, and we need that. The name of Jesus comes, and it challenges those things that are not wrong in this world. And sometimes that stuff is in us too. So what Jesus is saying to John to start with, he says, I want you to be gracious in Jesus' name. Here was John right off the start saying, you know, there's this guy out there, and he's not part of our group. He's not one of the 12. And he's actually using your name, and he's doing good with it, but he's not one of us. And he was like making this wall and this barrier and kind of defining him against us. And Jesus said to him, don't stop him. He's doing good, and he's doing it in my name. Let him go. Anybody who is not, this is quite a strong statement, anyone who is not against us is for us. So he's saying, anybody who is taking on the name of Jesus, bless them. Say, go for it. Do it. Keep going on with the name of Jesus. Now, I know that throughout history, sometimes things have been done in the name of Jesus that have not been very good. And people have gotten really off track. And oftentimes, historians, they like to point it out, especially when Christianity has been, in the name of Christianity, been responsible for some horrible things. One of those eras of time is the Crusades. Many of us are familiar with that. Those Dark Ages, it's called. And I ended up studying a little bit about that recently and looking at the person of St. Francis of Assisi. And I was just talking with Don Schmidt about that because he was just over in Italy and was in that place kind of looking at his life. Powerful light. Where in the name of, unfortunately, in the name of the church, horrible things are being done. St. Francis of Assisi took that and said, no, no, this is the name of Jesus. I think we have to be redemptive about the name of Jesus and sometimes define it and say, this is what the name of Jesus looks like. And the best place where we're going to know that is through the truth of God's word, to get in touch with that and say, are we really doing what God wants? Are we being grace to others? And unfortunately, in the name of Jesus, they were coming against people around Jerusalem during that time and having all these wars under his name. Well, St. Francis of Assisi, initially, he was kind of caught up in that. And the story goes that he was kind of had a romantic view of being a knight and became a knight. But somewhere along the line, this is in the 13th century, he was riding along on his horse and he saw a leper. You can imagine just the horrific look, especially without any medical care back then, what this leper would look like. And said something just filled him with the compassion of Jesus in his heart. And he got off his horse and he gave that leper a tunic. And he actually kissed the diseased face of that leper. And his life dramatically changed. So much so that the Pope at that time said, this man is really holding up, you know, a bright light in the church right now, even though he had this kind of crazy band of people who followed him. They were called fools, but he just lived out that. And whenever you see a picture of the guy, well, there you go. He's got birds flying around him and everything. And it says even the animals would just all kind of be attracted to him because he just lived out this life of peace in the name of Jesus, bringing peace. And at the end of this passage, Jesus says, I want you to be at peace. I want you to be ambassadors for peace. That's what comes with grace. When we're gracious in the name of Jesus, when we say, you know what? I am going to stand for what is good and reach out to people with unconditional love. And some people won't do it exactly the same way as we do. And Jesus is saying to John, even though he might be doing it different, that's okay. I think sometimes as Christians, we can become very ungracious with other Christians who might do things a little different than us. Or may not believe, or may not kind of sign off on all the aspects of what we believe to be kind of in our box of truth. And we tend to sometimes get sort of this corner on the truth sort of idea, like, you know, the way I think about it, the way I see it, the way I do it is the only right way. I heard about one guy being challenged on that, and he says, no, that person can do it his way, or he can do it the way he wants, or he can do it his way. Basically, he's saying, you know, my way is only his way. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I want you to be part of this larger family, to embrace others, and to say, if you're for Jesus, we're on the same team together. I heard a great speaker this last week who said that was really been one of his challenges of his whole life. His name is Michael Cassidy, and he started an organization 50 years ago in 1962. He's raised as a South African, and right off the start, he just broke all the barriers, especially in that kind of society where they had this horrific apartheid system. He worked right alongside of his black brothers and sisters right there. And all through his life, it was about bringing people together and bringing churches together. And he was in his late 70s, and I heard him, and he's just full of dynamic power still. But he, early on in the 90s, when Nelson Mandela was taken out of prison, he mobilized the church there in South Africa, all the churches from all different kinds of stripes, and brought them together and got them all praying 24/7 for the elections. For 2 years, they prayed for the elections. And many people who don't know the name of Jesus are astounded at how that country was able to transition without a horrific civil war at that time of that election. We say it's the name of Jesus that was being prayed about and brought into the election process even at the time. But one of the things that he said is it's very challenging sometimes to get people from different ends of the spectrum to say, we're going to work together. And they've done an incredible name of bringing Jesus' name across the continent of Africa. But that's what Jesus invites us to be radically inclusive of others who might not be in our tribe, our group, our denomination. They're doing it in Jesus' name. And Jesus says, anyone who's not against us is for us. They're doing ministry in his name. I love the Mother Teresa. I want to quote from her too. Many people, by the way, this ancient practice, have taken on this sense of doing things in the name of Jesus. And it's transformed how they do it and why they do it. Mother Teresa says, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. Isn't that true? Jesus says, I want you to be gracious. So that's what we get in the first few verses. Verse 41, he goes on to say, if anyone gives even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. Here Jesus is saying, you know what? It's both the supernatural and the ordinary that can be done in Jesus' name. Sometimes we look at certain things, we say, okay, that's only a spiritual thing, or that's a big deal, that's really, you know, being a Christian, and it's kind of coming against, in this case, it's coming against a demonic power. And certainly the supernatural, when Jesus comes and frees, is just a profound and dynamic thing. But it's the ordinary, the everyday as well. And sometimes we miss it and we go, that can be done in Jesus' name. You know, when I think of that person, that greeter, coming out into the parking lot to say hi to Raniel and Maxine, that's just the ordinary thing done in the name of Jesus. And that's powerful. That's powerful. It makes a dynamic difference. Jesus says, do not demean the small things. It's about going in and saying, I'm going to share Jesus in whatever the task, whatever it is. It's bringing a shoebox in the name of Jesus, just something very simple. And how God can take these things and do something powerful and miraculous with it is unbelievable. Mother Teresa also points out that often, sometimes, it's not going to be understood, even doing the ordinary. And sometimes we'll get refined by it. At the end of this passage, it says, you'll be refined by fire. And we sang about that this morning. That sometimes we will come find ourselves doing things and it may not, even the kindness, be well received. Sometimes we won't find immediately anyhow that goes around, comes around. The idea of paying it forward is a wonderful concept, but sometimes we won't see it. And Mother Teresa kind of points that out. She cared for and helped lepers in the slums of Calcutta was what her ministry was for her whole life. And this is what she writes. She says, people are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. And here's the clincher. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. What she's talking about is when we come and in these ways bring our kindness to others, it's really about doing it in His name. It's really about doing it for Him. And we can know that our reward is with Jesus. And this is what Jesus was communicating to the disciples as well. When you do it in my name, I will use it. It will be between you and me. Jesus goes on in verse 42 to talk about how we need to make sure that we are consistent in our lives as well. He says, if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, and then he says, this is pretty strong. He says, it's better to be thrown in the sea with a large millstone around your neck. He's saying, I want you to be very aware of what you are representing and who you are. That to many people, you will be the face of Jesus to them. Now, this isn't to be held all sorts of kind of heavily and with a burden, but it's really kind of taking a real step back and saying, oftentimes people will be able to, will make judgments about Christianity based on what they see those of us who are Christ followers do. Especially for a person who's new or undeveloped in their faith, they'll be looking at the person maybe a little bit more than they'll be looking at the actual person of Jesus. And by God's grace, and in very faltering ways, we all come to the table and go, God, can you just help people to see Jesus even in the midst of my mess? I'm desperately in need of your grace. But Jesus here is inviting for some kind of some introspection and saying, is there anything that's wrong? Is there anything, and he talks about your hand, your foot, your eye, that might be doing something wrong, that might, somebody else might be looking at and going, oh, is that Jesus? And they might get disillusioned or they might be drawn down a bad path. And Jesus is saying, be careful about that. Look at your life and deal with that. See, because people will look at the face of us and want to be able to see Jesus. I was thinking about this and often, when it talks about little ones here, it may include children, but it may mostly, like I was saying, include those who might be new or little in their faith. There was a child in our church, and one of the fathers came to me a few months ago, and he says, you know, it's interesting, as we were going through this logo change of Coast Hills, you know, and we have the arrow now with the cross in it, and we used to have sort of a, I don't know what it was, but anyhow, it was another logo. And his 2-year-old son, who comes to church here and has a wonderful experience and really enjoys it, comes to, and this is all he knows, is this is the church that he goes to. Our ministry center is on Highway 10, and we have the logo of the church, it's still the old logo now, and the name of it written up on the glass building there. And this father and the son had never been to the ministry center. They've been here to church many times, but never to the Highway 10 ministry center. And he says he was driving down the highway, and all of a sudden his 2-year-old goes, look, Dad, church. And he goes, what? No, the church is, he didn't immediately clue in. And he says, no, that's the church. And all of a sudden his dad says, I looked, and yeah, you got a ministry there, a center there on Highway 10. The son couldn't read, obviously, at 2 years of age, but he could see the logo. And that was enough for him to be able to go, oh, that's the church. You know, many times people will look at a Christ follower and say, we're like that logo. And they'll be able to either say, yeah, that's, I really want that, or, oh, no, this is leading me the other way. So how do we get there? Jesus says one of the things that we can do is live with humble awe of his name. Recognize the awesomeness of God. Here it does talk about a real place. It talks about hell, that it is a place of judgment. And it says that we should, our lives should be characterized by saying, you know what, I don't want to come under that judgment. And thankfully, we don't, because of Jesus. It is so important to understand that Jesus comes, and when we're willing to go there and deal with the stuff in our lives, he can deal with it. But we got to be willing to go there. I was coming across the 12 steps of AA. And step four, it says, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of our lives. You know, addicts know that if you just kind of sweep things over or brush it off or say, no, it's not really a real problem, you're never going to really go there and address it and get better and get health. You know, the reality is that all of us need that in our lives. And Jesus invites us to that. And so he says, I want you to come, and part of the aspect of confessing Jesus' name is a confession, too, of the things that are wrong in our lives. And when we do, when we confess to Jesus, we name the sin, and then we put the name of Jesus over top of it. And I was thinking a little bit about that, because I was looking at some of the old curtains that we have around here, and there were some grubby old curtains, and I chopped a few up, and I thought, you know, sometimes these can sort of like represent the wrong in our lives, and sometimes it just seems overwhelming, like it's like a dark cloak, and it's just there, and you can see it's ragged around the edges, and we feel like it's just way too much. But really, when we take it and we bring it to Jesus and we say, I'm going to name that, that's what that is, whatever it might be, that envy, that greed, that self-centeredness, that impurity, whatever it is, and we put Jesus' name over top of it, it disappears. It really does. I know this is kind of a little bit of a trite illustration, but we take those sins and we just bring them to Jesus and we recognize that they're gone. Jesus says, I take your sin and I remember it no more. Like, it's done. And so oftentimes I think if we just sort of hang on to these things or we aren't sure what to do with them, they just kind of hang around us like a shroud. And Jesus so wants us to be free. He just says, just give it to me. It's gone. That's what the name of Jesus does. The name Jesus means that I am completely forgiven, my shame is gone, and the power of sin is broken in my life because of what he did, because that's what he did. When he went to the cross, he said, it is finished. You are forgiven. That's the great news. He says, he took all of our shame upon himself. So that was the worst of the horrific suffering that Jesus did on the cross, was taking all that guilt, all that garbage in our lives and taking it on. And he says, and now he's come back to life, and that means the power of that sin is gone. That's the incredibly great news that we have in our lives. And so Jesus says, I want you to do that. Take whatever is wrong and bring it to the name of Jesus. The character of Jesus, the person of Jesus covers over that completely. And then Jesus wraps up his teaching by saying, I want you to be salt. I want you to be salt. And he says, salt had such a profound kind of use in those days. He says, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? So he's saying, I want you to be like that salt. Like in your lives, if you deal with the stuff in your life and you put it away, you're pure again. It's like you've got flavor again in your life. I want you to be on your sharpest flavor. And he says, you must have the qualities of salt among yourselves. Now, part of what God does in our lives, when we take Jesus' name in our lives, is we're able to go into the world. And I think we're able to do two things. One is we're able to preserve the world a little bit more. We're able to bring something good into the world. Sometimes we don't have to look too far out there, and even in there, and like we said, we can deal with the stuff in there, but it can get pretty kind of messy and gross, and life is just like that sometimes. I was thinking that a little bit about that this last week as I was doing my new routine as a Surrey resident with the organics thing. You guys all enjoying doing that? Maybe you've done it for a long time. If you're really good and you've gone green, you've done that for a long time. But you take all this gross, yucky stuff and you're throwing it into this big bin. And, you know, I was thinking we might need salt, not just for our sidewalks in summer or in winter, but we might need salt in summer to throw in there to, you know, keep it from getting too smelly in the summer. Good thing they're taking it out every week. But people back in this day, they would use salt in that way. And we still do, whether it be, you know, taking it and pouring it on meat and stuff, but it preserves things. And Jesus is saying, when you take the name of Jesus into this world, you're helping to preserve this world. You're helping to preserve it. And you may not have to kind of take a big chunk of it and ram it down somebody's throat, because that's not the point of salt. The salt is to go out there and say, you know, this, I'm just going to live out this kind of salty life. And it's going to be a seasoning to life as well. It's going to accentuate all that is good in the world as well. As you go out there with the name of Jesus in your life, go out there and live it, Jesus is saying. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring love. It's going to bring grace into society. When a few months ago, Peter and Kevin and I went, we had a barbecue together, and Peter says, I can make the steaks. And so Pastor Peter makes the steaks, and I'm going, this is amazing. What did you put on it? And I've been kind of working with different kinds of, you know, I'm no food connoisseur, but different kinds of, saute them then? Marinade, that's the word. What do you marinate it? What did you marinate this? He says, I took like seasoning salt and some Montreal steak, you know, salt, spice. And it was amazing. It just heightened the flavor of that steak. And you know, the power of salt to do that, to heighten the flavor of life. You know, when we take these steps, like Jesus is saying here, and we live gracious, radically inclusive lives with other people, as we take and we live ordinary kindness out into our lives to others, as we take and we deal with the stuff and we say, you know what, I'm going to, you know, to be the face of Jesus, I'm going to have to deal with the stuff that comes up in my life. And I can do that. I can do that instantly and immediately using the name of Jesus, take that stuff and it's all taken care of, forgiven. And I'm going to go out into this world and live this out. That's the challenge that Jesus has for our lives and something we can take into this week. I want to invite the worship band to come up, and we're going to close with a song, and I'll just close with a word of prayer before we do that, in Jesus' name. So I want to invite you to stand. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that your words come to us, and they challenge us, and they invite us to take and put your name over everything in our lives. I thank you that we can take our common, ordinary service in our families, in our neighborhoods, to our co-workers and friends, and put the name of Jesus on it. And we can do it for you, Lord, so that whatever the results, we know that it's between us and you. It's in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we can come and live out your grace in our lives, that we can come and take whatever might not be salty in our lives, might not be good, and bring it to you and know that you forgive and you just put your name over it. I thank you for that powerful name of forgiveness and grace and hope. And Lord, may we just go out this week and live our lives in the presence of others in such a way that it heightens the flavor of life for them, that it attracts them and brings them in to you, Lord Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen.